The Gwaltney Group.
The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney. Gwaltney Group. RE/MAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good Saturday morning. News Talk, 1340 KROC AM, 96.9 FM. I'm Andy Brownell. And I am joined by Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Andy.
Are you liking November so far?
I am liking November. I tell you what, I have been so busy. I have been running around to different places. Last weekend, I was in New York City. We went to watch our niece run the marathon. And it's so funny because I had people there say to me, "Oh, where are you from?" "Minnesota." "Oh my gosh, how cold is it in Minnesota?" I'm like, it's the same as it is here.
Yeah.
And then when I came home on Monday, it was actually warmer here than it was when I left there. So I'm like, you crazy people. It's beautiful. Fall is beautiful.
Except
and guess what we don't have
today.
Here? And yeah, a little chilly. But guess what we don't have here that they had there? Jam-packed subway trains and crowd. I mean, the people that came into that city for that marathon, the energy was awesome. I'm not going to lie. I actually loved the energy. But we would run to the train, get on with what felt like a million other people, and then get to the next stop so that we could see her again 6 miles later and 6 miles later, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. But at the end of the day, I was exhausted. I felt like I ran a marathon.
Yikes. Yeah, I
they can have it. The crowd, I mean, I love visiting New York City. I do. I really do. But I love coming home even more.
Have some space.
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking to Rochester Mayor Kim Norton earlier in the week, and she had just come back from her sister city in China. And you know, it's like population 28 million.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Well, there were 70,000 people registered to run in that marathon. Yeah, the largest ever anywhere. I think that they didn't all run, but I think it was like 61,000 or something that officially ran. And I swear everybody had another 10 people there cheering them on. So it was a lot of people, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds interesting.
It's inspiring. I saw one man.
It is. Marathons are.
He was a double amputee running with running blades. It took him 15 hours. And I'm like, Scott,
oh my gosh.
The next time you hear me complain about anything, and I do mean anything, just smack me. Seriously. I mean, those people were so inspiring. I saw one lady, she had on her shirt, it said something like cancer champion. And she was very thin. And you could tell she's been very sick. And she was surrounded by all her friends. And she was running with all her heart. And I just sobbed. I was like, oh my God, most people would be just saying, you know, poor, pitiful me. I'm going through this. And she's out there running a marathon.
26 miles.
Yeah, it was.
Oh my
gosh.
Amazing.
Those people were inspiring. And what I loved most of all, especially in the climate we live in now, where there seems to be so much divisiveness and so much, I don't know, just they do this and they do this and they do that. It's time that we got there and it was like one people. Everybody was cheering everybody on. I'm like, this is refreshing. Yeah,
you know,
I loved it.
It's a great observation, Robin, because if you go on social media and it's, you're right, it's just ugliness almost exclusively. But if you actually go out and spend time in public with people, it doesn't match up at all. Everybody
exactly.
is
fine. Exactly. And I said, you know what? Not one of these people here cheering knows what one of those people there running, who they vote for, nor do they care. Like, we're just all humans. So there were sweatshirts that said something about, it's that New York energy. I mean, it was a really positive, amazing energy. It was, I'm really happy I went to see that. That was cool.
Oh, neat.
It was really
that's
cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I tell you, I talked to some people there. One of the pictures I took was in front of a RE/MAX office because I couldn't help myself. So all the runners are running past the RE/MAX office, and we were standing outside it. Somebody from inside the RE/MAX office who was working came out to see the runners. And so, of course, I had to introduce myself and say that I was also a RE/MAX agent from Minnesota. So we started to talk about the market. And, oh, my gosh, their market is crazy expensive. Oh, like, man. I know that, but like the neighborhood we were standing in, I was like, so like a house like that, how much would that house right there be? And in my head, I'm thinking, you know, back home, that would be probably 500,000 to 600,000. And she's like, that one's easily 1.5 million. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So we're pretty lucky.
I had read an article about a guy, this is New York, you know, of course, affordable housing was a big issue in their election.
Right.
And he had, you know, I think 10 years ago, for $1,500, he was able to have a studio apartment. Not anything big, but in New York, that sounds actually pretty good. And right. Now his $1,500 has him sharing an apartment with six other people.
That's what I was just going to say.
Like a dormitory almost.
Yep, that's what I was just going to say. My niece, the one that was running the marathon, lives there. And they literally had, her and her roommates had to finally give up their apartment and move out of the city because I think the rent was up to like $6,000. And this was special apartment. So, and there were five of them, you know, and it was small. I was like, oh my gosh, this is craziness. So now and her fiance moved to Astoria and they have a much more affordable place. So that's good.
But, you know, there's only so much real estate in New York and it's.
Correct.
It's
correct.
Taken up. It's already.
And most of it, you're climbing stairs to get to.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I
have
a great aunt who had for many, many years. I mean, from like, we're talking from the 1950s, one of the rent controlled places that was like a block and a half away from Central Park.
Wow.
But it was up 10 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she was.
She had to give it up regardless of the rent.
Well, she kept
that
until she was in her 80s and then finally had to give it up.
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah, I actually know some people that have that same situation going on. And she has a great apartment in New York that she would not be able to stay. It's one of the moms to one of the boys that we raised at the Rochester Better Chance House. And she would not be able to stay in it if it weren't for the rent control, for sure. But anyway.
But the reason it was up 10 flights of stairs is because the elevator never got repaired because of rent control.
They didn't have the extra money.
They didn't have the money to do the repairs that needed in the building. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a double-edged sword.
A double-edged sword. You got that right. Well, the East Coast is the where the prices have really been going up because, honestly, in this third quarter of this year, prices have spiked in like 78% of the metropolitan markets. And the ones that went up the most, like up to 10% year over year, were on the East Coast.
I bet.
Yeah. And surprisingly enough, the West Coast, which is usually also like going up fast, stayed the same. And I even read in some articles, maybe a slight tick downward. I mean, when I say slight, I mean like 0.1%.
Oh, okay.
So not big. But
maybe out there it's that unaffordable. People just can't make changes or they're moving away from California.
Well, in Arizona, I know. Remember we talked about how year over year they went up by 35%.
Right.
You know, during the height of it all. Well, at some point that has to even itself out, right? There has to be some self-correction. Because otherwise, nobody, I don't care who you are or how much money you make, unless you're the trillionaire, you know, is going to be able to just buy a house comfortably.
Right.
Like, it's crazy. So anyway, Midwest has kind of, I don't think anybody will be surprised, has kind of hovered around 4.2% year over year for third quarter raises. And I've been saying between 3 and 5. So, I mean, right on the money.
So the hot spot is the Northeast.
That's where the prices have gone up the most. But 78% of metro markets, the prices have gone up year over year. So prices continue to go up, which is definitely a good sign. And the average homeowner over the last 5 years has built approximately $141,000 in wealth from their property, increasing in value. Yeah. And what do I say? I always say it. Your house is, what do I say, Andy?
The bank account you live in.
Yes.
You need to sell those bumper stickers.
Take care of it. Yeah, I really should. Take care of it. Protect that asset, you guys, because bottom line is when you do decide, okay, it's time to sell this property, if you've done it right, then you're going to make some good money. I was at a listing appointment yesterday. The lady told me that when her and her husband bought their small little bungalow in Southeast Rochester, they bought it when prices were at the tippity top back in those days. This is a while back. They paid $37,000 for it. Okay. They lived there for I don't know how many years, but when they sold it for almost $100,000. And she thought that was just, they had just hit the jackpot. And she was sure that there's no way that little house was ever going to sell more for that. And she said she just recently saw it on the market. And she said it sold almost as fast as they listed it. And it sold for 2.25. I said, well, yeah, because 2.25 doesn't buy you a lot. And if it was a cute little house and had been maintained and kept up, you're going to get your maximum return on your money. And she's like, it's just crazy how much it grows. And I'm like, and that's the reason people don't, they don't understand how important it is to keep it up as you go, right? So as something starts to fall apart or you think, oh man, I should probably be getting new appliances. These appliances are crap. Yes, you probably should be. So do it. Or, oh, our carpet is wore out. It's probably time to change the carpet, but it's a lot of hassle to move the furniture, do the stuff, or the wood floors look like they could need refinished. I'm just saying the better care you take of your house, the more you protect the value. And so the more wealth that you're going to build. So it's really important to protect that asset.
And you brought this up before, and it rings so true. You've run into so many people who've delayed doing those things until it is time to sell, and then they end up taking care of all those issues in order to get the value out of their
home.
For
the next guy.
But,
the next
but if they had done it, they could have enjoyed it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. So it's like just... obviously some people have financial constraints and they would love to get new carpet or would love to have their wood floor finished. It's just not in the budget. And that's a different story. But if you can do it, do it. You know, keep that asset worth. And I'm constantly on my kids. You know, I say, all right, it's time to have your garage. It's already like for Brett, in his case, it's already sheetrocked. I'm like, it's time for you to get somebody over here, mud and tape it, get this garage painted, get your floor epoxied. He's like, well, I don't care. I'm like, it doesn't matter if you care. Keep the value up. Take care of it. Do all the things, right? Instead
it's
of
a
just,
good message.
Yeah. No, it's important. It's really important. So just think about, if you think about in the last 5 years, you've probably gained approximately $141,000 in wealth. Well, that's if you have done all the things and kept your house in good repair. Those numbers can shrink in a hurry if you're letting things fall apart.
Absolutely. We do have to take a break. We'll do that
all
and
right.
Come right back with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results at News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.4. Welcome back to Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us. Andy Brownell along with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results on this Saturday morning, and here we are, Robin. It was, over a month ago that Elizabeth was with me and talked about the government shutdown at the very, very beginning of it. I mean, like a day or two after it started. Who would have thunk, right?
Right, and she was talking about the anticipated issues that might arise, and they're starting to arise for sure.
Yeah, and at this point, I mean, there's a little bit of optimism that maybe they'll find a solution maybe in the next week or two, but we're already in the longest government shutdown in U.S. history at, right around 40 days, I think.
Coming up on it. Yeah, the air traffic is kind of scary. I mean, we're not here to talk about air traffic, but
no.
we'll talk about housing, but that's the part that scares me the most.
Yeah, and Elizabeth said that the first place it would show up was probably the USDA loans. Is that the case?
Yeah. So there's actually a few different loan insurance programs that are offered through FHA, through HUD, through VA, and through NFIP. So those are all government-backed, you know, ventures that definitely are affected because it's all moving much, much, much slower. If people are applying for these loans, it's taking longer to go through, you know, being approved. And it's just been tough. Like we don't live in a market that's as affected as much as like, say, a military market where a lot of people are using these loans or, you know, markets where people, where there's a lot of government employees, you know, like a big saturation. And now they're maybe not getting paychecks. And so they were in the loan process, but now their bank is going to have to put the brakes on because it's like, well, you know, you don't really qualify if there's no income coming in and we don't know how long this is going to take. So there's just a lot of things that we don't think about. But we had, there was an article in a Realtor magazine, which is a magazine put out by the National Association of Realtors. And there were actually like 641 realtors from all 50 states that were being interviewed about this. And it was pretty interesting to see that there were people affected in different ways, but there were a lot of people being affected. Like 36% of the stories mention one or more federal housing program, like the FHA or the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is HUD, or the IRS or the National Food Insurance Program, which is the NFIP, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, and, of course, the Veterans Affairs, the VA loans. But most frequently what we saw was the NFIP, the National Flood Insurance Program, the NFIP, that's like shut down. So if you're buying a house that you need flood insurance, it becomes a problem. Nobody's thinking about that.
Right. That wasn't on my radar at all.
Right. And again, we don't necessarily, I mean, we do have some properties that require flood insurance, but like some areas, it's a very big deal, you know, coastal areas and things like that. So yeah, it's just, there's a lot of, some families are just having hardship, you know, some family strain. There were 259 different associations that were represented in these responses. And again, across the board, there are agents that are running into families, clients, buyers, sellers that are running into problems because of the government shutdown. So it is a thing that affects so many people in so many ways. And it has just been a train wreck for military families and escrows and local businesses. So, you know, hopefully it'll come to an end soon.
The longer it lasts, the worse it'll get as far as those effects. And
I'm
thinking locally with the federal prison here, we do have quite a few federal workers at that prison who are essential workers, most of them, who are working but not getting paid. And I'm thinking if, you know, if they were in the process of buying a home and now they lost that income,
now,
as you said, the banks are kind of pretty, how long is it? Is that something that once things get going again can be remedied fairly quickly, or does it?
Yes. But a lot of the banks need, like, you know, so many weeks or months of pay stubs. Now, if they've already had that established and then we're just not getting paid because of the shutdown, I would think that once those paychecks come in again, most of the banks are like, okay, we can see that you're back being paid. So you're back in the swing. It's completely out of control.
Right.
So I don't think it'll, you know, once they're back to getting paid, they should be back on track.
Okay. My heart goes out to those folks who are dealing with that. And over the years, I've known quite a few people who have worked at the prison and have had to deal with the shutdowns that have happened in the past, but this one is dragging out so long. It's, you know, if you had some emergency savings set aside, you're probably bleeding through it pretty quickly.
Well, and let's face it, it's hard enough for a lot of people. If you don't have a job that you love, I know I'm one of the luckiest people in the world because I don't feel like I work. I feel like I just live the life of a realtor and love every minute of it. And I really do. Sounds sappy, but I love what I do. Even in the most stressful, busy days, I love what I do. But that's not the case for everybody. Some people go to their job because they have to pay their bills and they don't love it anyway, but the paycheck is what makes it worth it. So if you have a job that you don't really love going to and you have to go and you don't get paid, that's stressful.
Yeah. Understatement of the year.
Yeah, because there is that thing called, you know, responsibility and money, and you have to pay your bills. So yeah, I can imagine that there are a lot of people being pretty, you know, stressed out by all of this.
Well, here's to hoping it ends soon, and we'll take a quick break and come back with some more with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results at News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.org. To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back. It's Saturday morning with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results. On News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM. And Robin, I guess you know what I'm going to ask. Do you have any listings to share?
I do. I've got some listings. I tell you what. I've been hearing a lot lately. How's the real estate market? Is anything selling? Yes, the real estate market is awesome. Things are selling. Do we have some inventory out there? We do. It's not going to last forever. So let me tell you, there's some good opportunity right now. If you're even thinking about it, listen closely, because I'll tell you what we've got. We've got 2118 21st Street Northwest. That is a four-bedroom, two-bath, 2,000-square-foot house, and it was built in 1969. I wish you could see the picture, kind of a mod-looking thing, kind of cool-looking house. And it is $309,900, the two-car garage. Yeah. Good price, good price. We have a beautiful big patio home up on Fox Hill. The address is 1184 Fox Hill Court Southwest. And this has four bedrooms, three baths, gorgeous, gorgeous property. It's 3,800, just under 3,800 square feet. And it has a two-car garage. It was built in 2019. It's got a walkout. It's a ranch style with a walkout lower level. And that is $790,000.
All right. Okay.
We've got a historic, gorgeous Pill Hill mansion, 724 4th Street Southwest. So basically, just kitty corner from the foundation house on the other side of the street.
Okay.
And that is seven bedrooms, seven bathrooms, just under 7,000 square feet. It has a two-car garage, which people are like, what? But in Pill Hill, that's good. Sometimes there's only one car. It was built in 1914, and it is a gorgeous property. It sits on 0.39 acres, so almost 0.4, which, you know, in Pill Hill, again, really big lot, really big lot. And that beauty is available for $1,669,000.
That's the neighborhood, bam.
Yep. I have 1880 3rd Avenue Northwest, which is a, condo. And that one is two beds, one bath, just under 1,000 square feet, $259,900. And
maybe you're walking distance to the downtown ones, right?
This one is over in Elton Hills. This one is that 55 and over. What's that place called? River.
Oh, I know where you're at.
What is that called? River. I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, those are nice. Those are very nice.
They are nice, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's priced really well compared to the others in the building. So hopefully we've got that one priced to move. We have a really nice house up at 3780 Willow Heights Drive Southwest. This has a big addition on the back, so it's got like a big extra back porch, sunroom, I don't know what you want to call it, and it overlooks the backyard, which is completely fenced in, has a big garden. This has 3 beds, 2 baths, just under 2,000 square feet, a 2-car garage, and it's $319,900. Great price. Out in Orinoco, we have 11355 Cedar Beach Drive, and it's got a gorgeous view of the lake. It's a lakefront with a lake view, lakefront property with a lake view. It's $729,900, and that one is 3 beds, 2 baths, 2,156 square feet with a 2-car garage. And let's see, we have 1004 8th Avenue Northwest in Rochester. This one is a cute little house, really cute. It's got 3 beds. It's got 1 bath. It's not very big. It's 1,434 square feet. It's a little story and a half, and it's $220,000.
Wow.
Right?
Starter house, yes.
Very great. Or if you're looking for a rental property, it would also make a great rental property. 3955 Oak Park Circle is a 3-bed, 2-bath with a tuck-under garage, 1-car garage. And that one was built back in 1967. It's just over 1,500 square feet total, because with those tuck-under garages, it makes the lower level a little smaller. $279,900. Okay.
Yeah, you have a lot of them right in that sweet spot price range, that's for sure.
We do. We definitely do. Do I have time for a few more, or am I running out of time?
Maybe one or two more.
All right. Let me pick one out here quick.
Okay.
5347 Supala Court, Northwest. We have got some brand new construction townhomes, a couple left. 2 beds, 2 baths. This one is $279,900 because it's an inside unit, and the other one is $379,900 because it has a extra garage stall and an extra bedroom and an extra bathroom and an outside unit. So those are new construction, beautiful townhomes. Got a lot more. I just don't have any more time to tell you, but you can feel free to call me anytime on my cell phone. And when I say that I look forward to your calls, I mean that. I absolutely look forward to your calls. And I just love it when people call me and tell me that they listen to me on the radio.
And how do we call you? What's that number?
That number is 507-259-4926.
All right, Robin. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. I look forward to another chat next Saturday.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.